welcome to Bagel Tech Big, the weekend show from the Bagel Tech Network with me, Ewan Rankin, and I missed my bloody cue on the video because I was too busy listening to the bloody car outside. Git.
Yeah, I heard it.
I don't know why I bothered. I told Sarah off and I'm bothered. Oh, it's the weekend. Weekend starts here, so who cares anyway? The weekend technology, as discussed by us five people, and we're going to start off with the fabulous panel that we have as usual. James Hart from Luton, recently arrived from London. Thank you, mate. You've made a big effort to get on tonight.
Yeah, yes, it wasn't nice at all. We had a very grumpy coach driver who's probably done about two trips today and spent most of it stuck on the A41, which is not somewhere you want to get stuck.
No. So you all right? Have you had a good week apart from that? Or
apart from that, I've been quite busy at work. I've been doing this thing during the course of my day where I've got this Ubuntu box, which I've been playing with on and off for weeks, months, in fact. But I've forgotten the username and password. So I've been trying a couple. And this has been constant all week. I haven't got my username and password, so I'm going to have to reinstall the damn thing.
Have you been getting a lockout?
No, because it's on the console. And therefore, I just try. So if anybody's got any hints what the password might be, please stick it in the chat room.
If anyone knows James's password, please DM him. Don't put it in the open net. How did the appraisal go as well?
We're doing one to ones at the moment. Don't go into the whole bureaucracy of having to do management, because frankly I'm not very good at it. So I just tell everybody they're great and then slag them off behind their backs.
Good man. Oh, we've got people are having trouble signing in, but apparently it's working now. So if you want to get in the chat room, dive in. There's quite a few in there.
Hello,
chat room. Sarah, how are you, mate?
Sarah, I'm very well, thank you. Listening to James talking about managing staff, I was thinking the same thing as him, because it's something I have to do, but it's not really my favourite thing. So fortunately, I've got a great bunch of staff and they don't take much managing. So
good on you. Below her, Carl Swagger, early in the morning, 5 a.m, but it's still 125 degrees in the shade,
yeah,
even though there's no sun. How you doing, mate?
Oh, yeah, I'm on fire.
With caffeine.
We hope not.
Yeah.
And last but by no means least, Mr. Eric Lanigan.
Hey guys.
The opposite end of the planetary day. Just about to start work and's got to rush off after this and do tech talk back, so we won't keep you too long, mate.
Good to be here again.
The week in technology. It's not been a fabulous week for anything other than Apple. For once, the Mac show actually had something to talk about at lunchtime, because there's been a load of stuff. Google have sold 3 billion applications out of their store, allegedly. I think some people probably downloaded the same one twice, because I can't see that figure really working. 200 bajillion applications have gone. They've also had a good quarter. $6.6 billion of revenue have come out of them. So that's good. That's not too bad. Except the story that Carl's pasted in says 8.58 billion, so I just made it up. There we go. Maybe it was in pounds, the one I saw. Custom backgrounds in Gmail. Microsoft has touted out Internet Explorer 10, even though Internet Explorer 9 isn't cold in the ground yet. Adobe went to a subscription model for CS5.5. Nokia W7 and W8 are the first Windows phones, allegedly, but there's not anything happened as yet. And the Wii has got reduced in price to $150 because no one said anything. We don't know why it's gone down. It's just gone down. Old Reggie said, no, let's give it to him for $150. Why has the Wii become a little bit more cheaply, a bit cheaper?
It's the French. The French. The Wii Wii.
It's only
we want
French.
The Wii Wii to go down.
The Wii Wii to go down.
Taking, doesn't sound very good, does
taking
it?
The piss. There we go. That's the title then.
I don't think so.
Why is the Wii down in price? Is it because we're getting something flash and fancy? James, you're on mute, mate.
I'm not.
Well, by the way, first of all, that is just a rumor, but the rumor is that on May 15th, we'll see a price drop down to $150 for the Wii, bundled most likely with a copy of Mario Kart Wii, is the latest announcement. But I'm trying to find the article here because someone, one of the people that posted a rumor had, they looked at the upcoming games that will come out for the Wii in this coming year in 2011. Coming year, it is this year, but it's literally like adaptations of cartoons and like learn to spell for kids. And like, that's all that's coming out for the Wii this year. They've got no AAA titles. They've got no hardcore titles at all. If Nintendo's got any of their own stuff, like maybe Zelda, they haven't announced it yet. So it's a big problem right now. There's no reason to buy a Wii, and they're, the consumers have spoken. The sales have tanked.
So it's low CPU and low graphic stuff that's planned, but is that the calm before the storm, or are we or is it just a dead platform now?
I'm wondering if the Kinect has taken it on and just like blown it out of the water, because it's got the graphical capabilities of the Xbox 360, which itself is it must be 3 years old now. But of course, it's got this real tactile interface, which uses, you know, which is that much more efficient. I mean, they didn't the Wii come out with their advanced controller, which is a little bit more accurate. But that's about the best they've done since.
But no games have come for it.
But no games. Absolutely.
Hardly any games have come out for Wii Motion Plus. There's been hardly anything at all for it.
And they were all very gimmicky. It was all like, you know, flick your wrist to pretend to hit a tennis ball, but it was not actually measuring it accurately. Then they tried to apply that to other types of games. And with the exception of first-person shooters, for which the Wiimote works amazingly well, but of course no one plays first-person shooters on the Wii because the graphics suck. That controller has got nothing good going for it.
I mean, did anyone see the hack for Gmail with the Kinect?
No. Oh, the thing where you can move your email around.
Yeah, basically there was a guy there, and it was actually an April Fool's joke that you had Gmail for Kinect. So you do this and it would open your email, and you would lick a stamp and put it on the envelope and then send it and throw it. You could throw stuff over your shoulder for when you wanted to delete it. And this guy over the weekend, because 1st of April was on the Friday, on the Monday there was a story about this guy who'd actually done it with the Kinect over the weekend. The Kinect is something that's, I mean, it's probably been the greatest gift to mankind. Surely.
It is to Microsoft.
The Kinect certainly is iPad-like in its newness we really haven't seen anything like that. And as far in terms of motion-based, human body motion-based gaming, they seem to have the lock on that market, even though I read surprising statistics that surprised me at least yesterday that said that worldwide, meaning not in the United States, the PlayStation 3 actually has a noticeable lead on the Xbox, even after the Kinect sales, which was a little surprising, but at least
that
here.
That would be in Asia. That would be in Asia, where PS3 is actually right now outselling the Xbox 360. It's taken forever, though, for the PS3 to actually get really recognized. It's great hardware, but when it came out the gate, there was no games for it. It wasn't enticing at all. I think with the Wii, I think it's one of these things where we bought it, we loved it, it was great for the family, and now what do we do with it? It's for the hardcore gamer, it was never there. It was always the family gaming console or something new, because it was new, but that's wore off now. We're ready for something new, and hopefully Nintendo's going to give us something.
It's followed the tradition of almost every, you know, the Sega Mega Drive, the Nintendo Master System, you know, all these things ended up in the loft, and that's the way the Wii's going to go. And the Wii 2 is going to have to pull something seriously good out of the bag to be able to take on, again, these 2-3-year-old consoles which seem to be owning the market at the moment.
Well, it's not actually even 3 years old. Would you believe that the Xbox 360 came out at the end of 2005?
Yep, that's right.
Grief.
Yeah. And there's not been a significant upgrade to that.
Yeah, it was considerably more expensive, but still, that's long in the tooth. I heard this is the longest generation of console hardware that's ever been out. At least maybe since the late 80s, early 90s.
Aaron in the chat room saying he's just checked on Amazon and it's £99 for the Wii Black at the moment, including the sports package. So £99 is $150 in current exchange rate. So
I want the Wii Red. Of course, that's only available in Japan. So that was like the Mario Brothers edition or something.
Well, you've got more than us. You've got more chance than us anyway. That's for sure. The other thing I've been thinking with the Kinect is this is something from Microsoft that really is unheard of. They've released something that just works. I mean, this really functions.
And they now have, they either just have or announced that they soon will have released an SDK for Windows to use the Kinect in so far only non-commercial applications, but at least they're giving an open look at the SDK and to throw it out there and see what innovative things people come up with. Look at what people have done already just by hacking it. Now that will be sanctioned and supported by Microsoft, just not yet for sales of software.
Are we going to give Microsoft any kudos here for not clamping down on the hacks on Kinect? I'm not sure how they could have done it anyway, but there's got to be some kudos for not clamping down in a world at the moment. You look at the PS3. PS3 is trying to play, you know, cap the gopher all over the place. Apple are doing it constantly with iPad and so on. Sorry, James, go ahead.
That's because it's because Microsoft have, for the first time, created pieces of hardware that isn't not particularly good. And actually the hardware, the product they're selling, it's not the software. And of course, the GPUs and all the software engine in the Sony PlayStation 3 is ridiculously complicated, and Sony want to keep as much of a lid on that as possible. But the Kinect is just a piece of hardware with an inputs and outputs, and it's just really clever. I think Microsoft is.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go on.
Now, I was just going to say, I've got this sketch in my head of someone saying, we've got this thing called Kinect, what should we do? And someone goes at Richmond, yeah, okay, fine, let it go. Yeah, no, yeah, put it out. And then someone comes back, we've had an email, apparently it actually works, what should we do now? And the same bloke's going, well, I don't know, I've no idea. We've never had anything that worked before. What's the book say? Well, the book doesn't say anything. We've never worked anything before.
That's about how it happened. Well, by the way, remember, if you saw the story a few months ago, Microsoft didn't actually build or create the Kinect. There was a company that came up with that, you know, that entire mechanism, and then shopped it around to various companies. And they were quoted as saying that Apple, they pitched it to Apple, and they were just so, you know, rude to them that they were like, screw you. So Apple passed it up. And then Microsoft bought it before they even really knew what they were going to do with it. And so when it later came out as the Kinect, there is evidence, there's historical evidence from what Microsoft spokespeople said at the beginning of the Kinect hacking days, which was that they don't condone it. It's illegal. It violates their EULA, and they don't want to clamp down on it. And then as the hacks got more and more interesting, they totally reversed course and said, oh, we've always fostered the development of... Yeah,
I'd be interested to hear what Sarah Jane has as a developer. Sarah Jane, is there anything you can use this for? Is there something you particularly kind of attracts you by about it as a piece of hardware?
Me personally,
in the gaming realm.
Sorry, who's the question to, James?
To Sarah Jane.
As a developer, is there anything to connect that appeals to you? Because I'm thinking of visual programming, or you know, it's Minority Report, isn't it?
I mean, it's not really my area, so but no, I mean, I can see potential for it, but not specifically, no.
But I mean, you're talking about the opportunity to write for completely visual integration with your computer. So, you know, stuff touch, we're well past touch now. You know, four finger gestures, three finger gestures, all gone. We're talking about, you know, dynamic movement to start navigating web pages, to call up anything that you want on your computer, to manipulate documents, to write documents, hell, you know, I mean, if there's, you know, what about sign language?
Is it really that good?
It is really that good. That's the point that we're making, they have no clue how good it is from what the hacks are showing.
So could you write letters in the air and it would actually understand what you're saying?
Well, you could end up developing a sign language. You think what it could do for the deaf?
Sign language interpreter, yeah. Or at the very least, like I know when you're saying Minority Report, you're picturing, you know, the whole user interface being in the air, that you move and you swipe with your hands waving in the air, which people are doing. They've done that with the Kinects, and it's been pretty cool. People have done hand puppets that are matched to their hands, and all kinds of virtual reality things. People have done pseudo three-dimensional scanning and texture mapping of various things. You can do all kinds of facial recognition. There's all sorts of stuff you can do. Some people, I remember, even built some students in a lab built some little robots that drive themselves around automatically with artificial intelligence using the Kinect as their navigation system, as their eyes and motion sensor.
That's pretty awesome stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Max S in the chat room has just realized he spent 15 minutes posting comments in the wrong chat room. And he's made he's made a really good point as well, that E3 is coming up in June. So, you know, perfect timing to reduce your Wii price if you've got a brand new console that you could launch at the gaming fair.
There's been, the last few E3s, there hasn't been anything major happening. And I'm, you know, you have this kind of anticipation on it. Because, and in fact, even the consumer electronics shows and things like that haven't had some seriously new innovation. The last one was kind of all about the cars and the electronics within that. So I'm interested to find out what E3 is going to have. It might be utterly disappointing, but this might be the opportunity for people to really show some innovation and to go, right, hang on a minute, how are we going to beat the Kinect? And have a really good think. One thing that does trouble me, of course, is that the Sony won't learn any lessons from this. They're not going to make an extensible piece of hardware that people can have a go on and play with. It's going to do the thing that Sony wants it to do and nothing more.
Uh-huh. And so that's why, to me, Sony's such a dinosaur right now. We bought the thing. If I want to jailbreak it, if I want to hack it, then let me do it, for God's sakes. I mean, I'm already voided my warranty, so you don't have to worry about me anymore. Now, do you, Sony?
Did you know they just upgraded the spec of their memory stick? Aren't you excited?
To what? From what to what?
I don't know. It's a little bit faster or something. It's like where SD cards were 2 years ago. I don't know. But the funny thing about the Wii, I think, which is certainly the reason, besides the dearth, the dearth of hardware or software rather, you don't want to play a standard definition game on a high definition TV. And I think if you look at how when the Wii came out, if you look at the sales graph of how it came out in 2006, and there were supply issues, so it grew, and it was the most popular console for years there, vastly outselling the Xbox all over the world and the PlayStation 3. And then all of a sudden, it just plummeted. And I suspect it was right about the time that we hit a critical mass of people who had high definition TVs. Because now when you go back and play a Wii game, they're talking about a new Zelda game coming out. It's like, don't even tell me that. I don't want to play another game in standard definition. I tried to do that with the new Super Mario Brothers. And it's like the aliasing and the jagged edges are just enormous. I mean, then you go to the most basic two-dimensional scroller on Xbox 360, like the one that's my cool thingy for the day. And it's, it just blows you away graphically. Or the new Crysis 2. I haven't played that, but I've seen some reviews and screen grabs of it, some video, and it's just stunning. And the Wii has just got nothing in the graphics department. It can't even compete at all.
Yeah, but you say that. That's interesting because we've got a Wii, we've got a PS3, and we've got an Xbox 360. And Ellis loves playing the PS3, and he likes playing the Star Wars game on that and that kind of thing. But he keeps going back to the Wii, and when he pulls the Wii out, the one thing he always goes for is the frigging sports disc that came with it. He just loves playing, and I love playing the sports with him because that was...
Yeah, I'm the same as well.
Exactly, that's the bonding experience. That was where the family was brought together. That was what the Wii was heralded as doing, was bringing the family together. It wasn't about being a gaming console. And the Wii Dare thing, you know, if you want to look at the adult end of the bringing the family together, if you like, that was going to do that as well as, and there was this huge outbreak because it was rated at 13. Is the problem perhaps that the Wii has lost sight of what it was good at? Because it can't pursue the graphics line, and people have been manufacturing stuff for it. You know, like the Tiger Woods Golf was an absolute dog. Because graphically it was crap, playability-wise it was crap because the graphics were crap and it was slow, and it never actually followed particularly well with the Wii thing anyway. You know, you wanted a racket sport, a ball sport, a table tennis games. Those were the things that were always going to work really well on Wii, not, Duke Nukem or, Black Ops or something like that. You know, that was never going to be it.
Yeah,
it was never the console where you would go in there and say, "Yeah, all right, let's shoot them up, kill them, game. Yeah, I'm gonna get a Wii." No, it was never that. It was always, "Oh boy, fancy some tennis." That was what it was for.
Yeah, so and the other thing about the Tiger Woods thing is that the actual disc that comes with it comes with the golf game anyway, which, from what I've seen, is okay.
It's all right, yeah. It's not a golf game. If you're looking for a simulation, it's crap. If you're looking for a bit of fun, it's fine.
Yeah.
I think the Wii was a fad.
Mm-hmm. I still love the cow racing.
The cow racing is good. That's another one of Ellis's favourites.
Yeah, I absolutely play, love that.
But I mean, so is the, are we saying the Wii platform is dead? Dead in the
as
water.
It is right now. As yeah, it is right now. If they don't do anything with it, then yeah, it's dead. Obviously, the sales show that. Maybe sales plummeted because everybody bought one. Oh, well, my neighbor's got one. They got one. It was out of stock. We finally, yeah, we've got the Wii, and now we see, like Eric said, we've got high definition televisions now, and go, oh crap, the Xbox 360 does look a little bit better now, doesn't it? Okay.
I think for your hardcore gamer, it probably is dead, but I still enjoy it. But then I'm not massively into games. So that's probably says more about me than anything else.
But you said you enjoy playing. You're talking about Wii Sports, right? You know that came with
but
it.
But it's fine. That's good. I'm quite happy with it.
Yeah. So it was kind of a one trick pony. It was a gimmick that of the one thing that came with the system.
It was Pong. It was Pong New Era style.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I was
thinking that, and Kyle, when you said it. It is of its generation, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just even the fact that it's the tennis game was one of the most popular things on there. It's like, you know, you're hitting the Pong ball. Wait, what was the other thing I was going to say? Something about, I forgot.
Okay, we'll come back to Pong. No, that was the point, is that the Wii's filled its market. And the thing is, we're sat with a Wii in there, and I'm sitting thinking to myself, right, what am I going to see in the new Wii then that's going to make me want to go and go, wow. Actually, that one can go in Ellis's bedroom. We'll go and buy a new one for the lounge. And it's not a 1 gigabyte graphics card. It's not going to be, 500 gigabytes of storage so I can stick my movies on it. It's not a Blu-ray player, and it's not a Blu-ray drive in it. What are they going to do to the Wii to make me want to buy it? And I can't actually think of anything. Not a
cloud gaming.
What?
Cloud gaming.
Oh. Moving on.
The
other thing is,
James.
The Xbox 360 has manifested itself not just as a gaming machine, but as a multimedia hub. You can play your movies on it. You can do a huge amount of stuff on the Xbox 360 that isn't just playing games. And unless
especially
Nintendo
when it's jailbroken.
Especially when it's jailbroken, absolutely. PlayStation 3 can play Blu-ray discs and play computer games as well. And I think the multifunction device in the front room that can do something as well as playing games is where the next step needs to be. Because if all it does is... Because the Nintendo Wii doesn't even play DVDs. You can't. I think you can just about get YouTube on it, but even that's a bit rubbish.
Or Netflix.
It has to be a multifunction device.
I was just going to say, James, one of the things that we use the Wii more than anything else is to watch programs on BBC iPlayer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't even know I could do that. But yeah, now that you have things
like
the Xbox.
For you.
I was going to say, for Eric, it can't. For me, it can't.
And people used to use it to watch Netflix, but now that the PS3 and the Xbox have HD Netflix streaming, there goes that. You can't even watch HD streaming things on it.
Okay, so 15 all, because we can't do that.
Say what?
15 all, because we can't do that.
You can't.
We don't get Netflix. No Netflix over here, mate.
That's right. Well, I've got it on the computer, and it never has scaled to HD for me. I don't know what the deal is. I've got a reasonably fast connection, I thought. Anyway.
It's Comcast. That's the problem, Eric.
I know. Microsoft has beaten... I almost said Apple. I'm just so used to seeing that. Microsoft has beaten Nintendo at the game that they... created, because right when you had the problem that everyone said about the GameCube was that it was underpowered and only appealed to kids, and that aside from banking on a few classic titles like Mario, Zelda, and the combined Mario Zelda of like the Super Smash Brothers type games, aside from those couple of Nintendo properties that have been released for the last like 25 years consistently, it had no compelling reason to buy that over an Xbox, which was targeted and a PS2 towards the hardcore teenagers through people in their 30s demographic who really buy and spend the most on games. And so the GameCube fell into this ghetto of it was childish and there was no software for it. Then when the Wii came out, they tried to undo that by saying, well, look, it's this new and different thing because now it's a motion thing. It's a family fun. It's a bring your friends over, you know, older people, you know, grownups with no kids even should buy this thing and have parties where they are all batting the Wii tennis ball around. And for a while, people actually did that. But then they got sick of that because it was just that one game and that one gimmick that even came with the system. All the other software that tried to add on the motion, the Wiimote control, motion-based after the fact were terrible. And in fact, Nintendo drove away hardcore games because it only had a controller that had like three buttons. You couldn't even play decent games, not to mention the lack of graphics capability. Now Microsoft has locked in the market with the Kinect, has come in and just slammed Nintendo. That's now the new social gaming thing for the living room is the Kinect. People say it's so much more fun and the kids love it so much more. Not only that, but Microsoft and to a lesser degree Sony and to a zero degree Nintendo can now sit back and watch their consoles, which originally were more expensive than the Wii, but now they can sell much more cheaply at about $200. They can sit back and watch those systems now grow their installed base, sit back and watch their installed base turn those systems into a multimedia hub for the living room. They've got their Netflix, they've got their Zoom store, they've got their Microsoft purchasing, they've created this entire ecosystem that's not even just about games, and Nintendo has got nothing to compete with that on any level, not graphically, not on the home entertainment system, nothing.
I mean, there's Wi-Fi only as well for the Wii. You can't actually put a hardwired link in, so if you want to stream from your media server anyway, you can't do it from that and keep your speed up on an HD movie. There's a point been raised in the chat room from Aaron saying that he uses his PS3 to stream from his Mac. There's a lot of applications that will do the PS3 and the Xbox 360. Knollroad is the one for the PS3, and Kinect 360 does it for the Xbox 360 exclusively. And some of those work and some of them don't. I've never got them to work properly because of the NAT problem. But that is, you know, the Xbox and PS3 have not stopped those links taking place between the server and the games console, whereas Wii have never provided anything. There is nothing out there to make your Mac stream to your Wii.
No, right, it's true. You have to say this, though, about Xbox and PS3, though. The reason why we're streaming content now to these devices is because of people hacking them in the past. This was never conceived at the beginning. Mm. It took a hacking community to be able to find a way. Actually, it even happened with the first Xbox. XBMC is a complete proof of that. It took that community to get us where we are now because these consoles they've always had that potential, but these companies have locked them down. To me, it's like the iPhone itself. You can look there and say, hey, look, we had apps from the beginning of Jailbreak. Now, Apple took that and ran with it. Now we have the App Store. But it always comes from the hacking community about what is actually the potential of all of these devices, as far as I'm concerned.
No, actually, I've heard analysis from some high up people that say that, you know, especially in the case of Microsoft, it was always their intention. Yes, you're right. They did lock it down. And hackers were, with the first generation Xbox, it was the hackers who were able to turn it into a media center. But I've heard that one of the biggest reasons that Microsoft has historically lost so much money on the Xbox hardware was because, as you see when you first boot up the machine, games are but a small part of the Xbox experience and where they really want to be. And you hear now they're trying to do content deals. They've already got Netflix and movie rentals through their Zoom store. The rumors are they're going to try to do live streaming like a cable channel. They could turn it into a cable box. And from what I've heard, Microsoft always had that in mind. They've always wanted to go to the home media center model. And so that's why they tried to undercut everybody and provide especially in the days the first Xbox was the best hardware for an unthinkable price.
But there, I think that's where I think there's a real issue with that, because you say they always wanted to go for the media center, but actually what they wanted was to lock down, because for a long time the Xbox 360 wouldn't work with anything else but Windows Vista Media Center Edition. It wouldn't work with the standard Pro version or with the Home Edition or Ultimate. It also had very big problems with the fact it wouldn't take data sticks. You couldn't transfer thing off USB. You couldn't fit an external hard drive in through the USB. And I'm pretty sure you still can't. And also, if you wanted to take a picture with anything, it wouldn't take any of the video camera apart from the one that they issued with it. There was no other way of getting. I mean, I remember we did Tiger Woods Golf on it, and me and Ellis wanted to put our pictures on so we could do the face in the game thing that EA Sports had got. The only physical way I could get our images onto the Xbox 360 was to go out and spend 30 quid on their bloody camera.
Right. Well, you've got the same dilemma that you have with Apple and all their devices. You've got the same company that's trying to trying to become a middleman who's selling movies and TV shows and music, and who's selling the content as well as signing off on all the software made for it, and making a cut of all the software made for it, by which I mean games on the Xbox, who also makes the hardware. And who can really competitively sell, you know, how are they getting those prices so low is what everyone always says, whether you're talking about Apple or the Xbox. It's a thorny issue. And yes, I agree with the people who say that they've always known where they wanted to go in this space, that it wasn't hackers that took them there. It was just hackers that got out in front of them, that took the lead, and they didn't want that. In both cases, Microsoft and Apple have always wanted to lock down their hardware so tight to prevent people from going around the services that they wanted to offer. Maybe they didn't have licensing deals yet. Maybe they didn't have the software written yet, or the server infrastructure in place. But the direction was always there in their minds well before the hackers implemented it. They just didn't want to see hackers do it for free because they wanted to sell those services themselves.
But they weren't inventive enough to do it themselves.
No, they didn't do it properly. It just took them a while.
Yeah,
it's a money thing at the end. If that's what they wanted to do, it's a money thing. It's about getting Eric might be right on the sense of that, but to me, a lot of this stuff that we enjoy now always came from the hacking community.
Yeah, that's where it all started. The innovation comes from the adversity.
Well, I'll tell you, Robert X. Cringely is the guy who I was reading back in like 2006 when it first came out. He was always talking about at every new Xbox announcement or change, he would refer to what he says were his sources at Microsoft telling him that the grand plan was always to get to become the living room set-top box.
Albeit a very...
Which may be right.
One.
Say again, James.
Albeit a very noisy and warm one.
Okay, now let me ask you guys Jeff this, because this is what so here's the next question, and maybe you'll want to get to a different topic, I don't know, but no. What do you think? I think it's very unfortunate for Nintendo if they have to come out with a new console now. Now, first of all, the rumors are not that it would come out in this calendar year. It would come out for Christmas 2012, even though the announcement would happen in summer 2011 at E3. That's what the current rumor says, because it would take them that long to generate interest. And the rumor is that they're already carting around some demo units and showing hardcore developers. You know, they want to get that Mortal Kombat back on the system. They want to get that Call of Duty back onto the system. That's the rumor, that they're trying to appeal now to the Western gamer, the eternal male teenager, I guess, who's in his 30s and still stays up till 3 a.m. playing games on Xbox Live. That's the market that they want to get to, because those are the people really buying all these games, especially spending the big bucks on the big blockbuster titles. But I think it would be bad for Nintendo if they had to make the next console move and commit to the next console design and hardware specs before Sony and Microsoft do their next one, because I don't think they really know, Okay, so that's what do you guys think about that? I think it's an unfortunate time, because that's what the rumors, some rumors are speculating. Will the new Nintendo Wii replacement be better? And some rumors say it's going to be much more capable hardware-wise, graphic-wise, than the Sony and Microsoft consoles. Some people are saying it's not going to match them all the way and might be some minor upgrade. So what do you guys think? Is this, in the cycle of gaming consoles, is this a bad time for Nintendo to make the next move of the three?
I think it's a perfect time if they can do it right. And the guys in the chat room have come up with what I believe I've been thinking all the way through you've been saying that. They shouldn't be going to try and take on the Xbox and the PS.
Yes, that was my point I was going to make. Stick to what you got credit for.
They should be going for the App Store. They should be going for the casual gamer, the $1.99, the 99, the 59 pence, the 99 cent games that you can download just like that, have a bit of a laugh on, and then discard. I've got so many of them on my iPod Touch. Apple are licensing these, getting their cut on it, making an absolute fortune on it. And if they can think about doing that and getting something on the front of the television that you just go, oh, that looks like fun, clicking a button, making a micropayment and having some fun.
Which is interesting, because Reggie Fils-Aimes has come out and said that the $1.99 route for gaming is not the way forward and Nintendo will not be taking that. That was about 6 weeks ago.
At funeral.
Yeah, it could well be. It absolutely could be. And I think the other thing as well, is the gaming industry has come in for an awful lot of stick this week over the playtime of games. So if you look at Assassin's Creed Brotherhood come out, there was 5 hours of gameplay on that. Black Ops, when that came out, there was 5.5 hours of gameplay on that. You know, this is like an afternoon playing, and it's $60. It's £45, £50 for the game.
Wow.
They're talking about $75 million to make a game, but the game only lasts 5 hours. And actually, if you look at the gameplay, it's 5 hours. You know, the whole thing will probably take you 10 hours, but there's 5 hours of film in there as well because they've got all these cutscenes that they'll manufacture. And the cutscenes are what cost a fortune, and no one wants them. You know, if I can skip through them, they're
interesting.
Gone.
There is a very big industry in the online gaming, the likes of Team Fortress 2. Team Fortress 2, again, is three and a half years old, and there is still a massive community playing them. My brother still loves playing Left 4 Dead, and there are a number of these sort of fighty army kind of games that people play. And, of course, World of Warcraft is still massive. And I'm wondering if the collaborative gaming is kind of an area of the industry where people want to concentrate on, because there is no amount of gameplay time. It's the community that gets built around the games. And I'm not talking about Farmville. I'm talking about something a little bit more sophisticated.
But the MMO game is a lot of things, you know, where people want to carry on playing after they want to have a learning experience where there's almost like a tutorial where they've got levels that they have to progress through. But then they want that to sort of translate into a mass online multimedia game that they can play with other people across the world, which is where the World of Warcraft, etc. thing kind of really takes off.
I could be completely in left field here, but I honestly feel that the gaming industry itself is a little on the stealth side. I mean, we're already seeing sales in March were down 4% in the States, and it was like $1.5 billion. We're talking about the Kinect, not really much in a game form here. We're talking about what you can do with it, with hacking and putting it on a computer, and look what the hacks they did on YouTube. And that's where the kind of the Kinect comes in. We're talking about Gmail and all that. Doesn't the gaming industry itself need a little bit of a boost right now? It's not just Nintendo. It's not just you know Xbox or PS3. They all need a little bit of a direction right now, because it has become slightly stale. I want to say Rock Band, or actually Guitar Hero, is kind of proof of that. There's another little fad that came and went.
Here we go. I mean, this is the point, I think, perhaps, in what you're saying, Eric. There's almost a counterintuitive part to the statement that you're making, because we're saying that the Wii's failed because it's not graphically powerful, and yet we've actually talked about the graphic element, the cut sequences, that kind of stuff, is the thing that we hate the most within it. You know, the thing that is costing the most to make in the game is the thing that we hate the most about the game. Is there no message there for the gamers, for the game manufacturers, that's saying, look, you know, stop spending so much money on stuff that the customer doesn't want? And that's where Nintendo got it right. There wasn't big cut sequences. It was just about playability. It was just about, 7-year-old kid playing with their grandparent. You know, my dad is at 80 years of age, has stood and played tennis and golf with Ellis at 5 and 6 years of age on the Wii. He would never have sat down in front of an Xbox. He would never have sat down in front of a PS3. And he's got an iPad that he picks up and he plays crosswords on, and that's it.
I think we've hit on something very significant, and that is that the same thing is happening to the game industry that has happened to the music and movie industry. They have thrown so much more money over the years. If you chart over the last few decades, how much money is being pushed onto a smaller number of, whether it's artists or directors or actors or film franchises, as well as game franchises and game mechanics. And, you know, you look at the budgets of special effects in movies, the same effects budgets, as you were saying, go into the cutscenes in these video games for the high-end animation. And where there is no innovation happening, just like there's no artistic innovation in filmmaking short of what the special effects designers are doing, because they're banking all this money, millions and millions of dollars, which, as you also said, one of you, is the new cost of building a video game. It's millions and millions of dollars. It's like making a film was a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And in some cases still is. They throw it on into these blockbuster games that then they're trying to shove down people's throats, just like the summer blockbuster movie or the next Lady Gaga CD or something. I don't know. Some people like that, but you know, I see that as one of the, maybe she's actually an example of one that was less manufactured by, but you know, Britney Spears or something, totally manufactured by record labels, and you have so much push and so much money behind them. And as a result, there's been no innovation in the artistry of the music, of the games, of the movies, or the video game mechanics. No one's just trying new types of games because the risk is they perceive is too high, except on the devices like the Apple iOS devices.
Over-commercialized. It's just over-commercialized.
I was going to say, the thing is, though, surely, though, that when you compare it to the amount of money that they're spending on movies and stuff, surely the market for hardcore games is nowhere near as big.
I don't know, because I would have thought, don't forget, you've got the potential for gaming is different from cinemas because of the age restriction. Now, I know that the games are age-restricted, but parents will still buy out-of-age categories, whereas kids don't seem to go to movies a lot more because someone's taking the money and someone's going to question their age. So
I'd imagine it's closer to DVD sales rather than cinema sales.
You think?
Yeah. Okay. Because, of course, the age restriction, as soon as you get into your own home, it's a decision that's made by the people in the house.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yes, exactly. So the DVD market is going to be bigger than the cinema market. Yes, sorry. Yeah, exactly right. That's what I was thinking.
I regret that I don't know the actual statistics or which one comes out ahead, but I do recall that the video game, especially the high-end video game market of your blockbuster HD titles, you know, for the top two consoles is really neck and neck. It's really close to the amount that people in aggregate spend on movies.
Right.
Wow. I'm really
so the industries have
that.
Really converged.
Considering that I would have thought that the hardcore gaming end, as you said, Eric, is for the top two machines, is I would have thought would have been a relatively small market.
No, quite the opposite. And remember, the thing about the Wii is that no one buys software for it.
Excluding the Wii, because as we said, that's more for the family market, and that's a different kind of thing. But in terms of actually targeting and spending all this money on high-end games, I just, from a business model, I can't see why companies would spend so much money on it.
Because there's an audience. My brother's a really serious hardcore gamer, and the fact that the game is so immersive, because you've got some control of the narrative, even if it's a fairly linear game, because you've got control of the narrative, it is something which is really addictive. And there is a group of people who go out and will spend 35, 40 quid on an Xbox game and will play it to death, and then buy the next one.
I know there are, but it's just that I would have thought that market was nowhere near as big as the market for marketing and for movies and stuff.
The quantity is smaller, but the costs are greater, because you're paying, rather than paying 8 quid for a cinema ticket, you're spending 40 quid.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
And ideally, you spend longer playing the game, but not if they're down to 4 hours in length.
That's awful.
That's a long, long time to be sat down doing something, isn't it?
Oh, some of these games are like 30-something hours, aren't they? Especially
well,
if you
that's the point that the complaints are coming from, is that they're not. They're 5 hours. And people are saying, for $60, $70, £50, I want more than 5 hours of gaming in an afternoon.
Absolutely.
And 4 hours of cut sequence.
This is the one I'm quite interested in because Portal 2 is out soon.
I'm gonna jump the gun. I hate to say it. I'm going to jump the gun on my free thingy. Is that okay?
Go for it. Yep, no problem.
Okay, because it's so relevant here. The free thing I was going to recommend is a downloadable title exclusively on the Xbox Live Arcade system. So meaning you can't get it for PlayStation and obviously not Wii. It's a downloadable title. The Dishwasher 2 Vampire Smiles. If you search for, I think it's vampiresmiles.com is the official site for the game, where you can see videos of what it looks like. It is a sequel. It's only $10. Independent developer. It's a sequel to a game that I'd never heard of, but you don't need to play the first one because it's really just kind of an upgrade in mechanics, because it's your basic. It's the kind of button masher, screen-to-screen, hack-and-slash, you know, beat-em-up that I haven't played since I was a kid. And it reminded me how Back in those days, like every game was a two-dimensional side scroller where you just walk up to enemies and you just like mash A, B, and C, and you like Doom. Beat them up or do what?
Doom. Wolfenstein 3D.
No, it's not a first-person shooter.
All right, okay.
No, that's... Well, yeah, that actually makes the same point as well. But in this, it was just... it's two-dimensional. You walk, you know, forwards and backwards, and you just... You go into a room, and the doors close, and you have a room of people to beat up. And then when you beat them up, you get points, and the doors open, and you continue to the next room, where the same thing happens again until you reach the boss. And the thing that made this game special is that for $10, it's one of the most fun games I've ever played. I could not stop playing this game. It was like crack. It's like the levels were so hard, and you'd become so involved in them. I actually read a review... After I'd bought it, this was just like a separate one when I was trying to look for a strategy guide for it. And the reviewer for IGN said he noticed he had stopped number of times he had stopped breathing because he was that involved in the in the combat. So it looks on the surface like it's just a button. And by the way, I'll say it's stylistically it's very different. It's kind of like black and white and red, with red being blood. It's very bloody. To give you a sense of it, your character, it kind of looks like a very dark gothic kind of Japanese comic book you're like some kind of undead cyborg who's got a sword in one hand.
You look kind of like RoboCop.
Well, you've got some kind of hacking and slashing implement in one hand, and your other arm is a mechanical arm that is a chainsaw slash machine gun. If that gives you a sense of the style of game we're talking about, and but the here the totally innovative thing for it is that you with the right analog stick. You can move infinitely up and down all over the screen. So it's like you can just fly and dodge anywhere. You can just go up and up and up infinitely, or over up and over to the side infinitely. So you have this kind of infinite dodging capability in all four directions. And that's really where the innovation comes in, because besides that, it's really just kind of a button masher, even though my one complaint with the game is that it seems like there is some kind of strategy involved. There is some kind of thing about using different weapons or switching to them increases the experience points you get to upgrade your equipment. And there does seem to be some kind of strategy that they don't tell you in the game. And so I'm a little bit...
Eric, breathe.
Stick a comma in there.
Almost blacked out there.
Oh, man. You're excited then.
There's passion for you.
$10! $10! And I probably sunk like 12 hours into this game because it's that addictive. And I will continue to do that because then once you beat the story mode, you go to the arcade mode where it's like all these little, you know, and that's where I started to see, hey, there is actually a strategy here. It's not just button mashing, because then it's like now you only have these two weapons or your health bar, or you only fight this type of enemy. And you're like, oh, so it's I dodge and I go up for this one. So if this guy's going to come down at me with a sword, or this guy's going to throw a grenade down, so I go up, 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 over, down, put him up in the air, you know, slash at him with the thing, and then do a down chop move, and then you can press B to do that final, you know, where like they just like they literally like bite
it,
like,
Eric.
Like rip out the person's neck, and it's all bloody and everything.
Okay,
you remember the straitjacket crack you made last week, dude? I'm telling you, that is a padded wall behind you, no question.
We'll buy it, Eric. We're gonna buy it. Okay, we're gonna buy it later. Don't worry about it.
That's a heck of a sales pitch.
We're gonna
test it
out. We're gonna see what.
We'll do it. Okay, we'll buy it. We'll buy it. Stop. Yeah. Okay. I can't believe we were sitting debating before we started whether we get anything out of talking about the Wii thing. We've done 50 bloody minutes.
Is that old?
Totally independent developer. I'd heard that the first game that I had never heard of before was some kind of success story. He like won some kind of submission process or won a contest that then got him a grant money to do another game. Totally independent developer. My point is the level of fun to the level of play time, play hours to price. Completely opposite of all the games that you were talking about. So that was my point with jumping into that right now.
Two questions, if I may, Rick. The first one is, where did the dishwasher come in?
The dishwasher?
I don't think I want to know.
One from the chat room.
It's the guy's name. Wasn't clear to me because that was apparently resolved in the first game. But for some reason, the guy's name is the dishwasher, and he has a friend called the chef or something. But that really is irrelevant because
the thought that it's not two scarier names than that. I'm the chef.
The second question, if I may, is how did you hear about it?
Totally Rad Show did a little miniature review of it, and I was like, "Oh man, two-dimensional side-scrolling game! I've got to get that."
So it is the game shows that do it, isn't it?
Does the chef have a move that's called his special sauté? I'm going to fricassee you now. There we go. Have we got any other cool thingies? Because we've kind of got into cool things.
I think we started with Eric. We should go backwards, Ewan.
And we go backwards, right. Kyle, your cool thingy, please, mate.
No, nothing's as cool as that.
That's true. true.
Where do you go from that? How do you follow Eric now?
I want an Xbox 360.
Everything is there. It makes me want to go buy the damn thing right now. There's my cool thingy. I'm stealing Eric's. It's so cool.
Free demo, no, by the way.
Free demo. Well, there's my cool
10
thingy.
Hours of free demo.
My cool thingy this week is very simple. It's something that makes me laugh 3-4 times a day, if not more. It's a Twitter account called Funny One-Liners. They have a lot of over 245,000 followers, and it's at twitter.com/funnyoneliners. And what I kind of like about it, it's not just this person. They also retweet other people's, and it just makes me laugh. And if you want to pick me up throughout the day, any day of the week, particularly on a Monday, follow this person. There's a lot of fun. They're not all great, but some are damn funny.
twitter.com/funnyoneliners. Brilliant. Good one. Thanks, mate. Sarah, if we're going in reverse, what's yours?
Mine's a new website, which is in the UK, as I think we touched on before. We have BBC iPlayer, and ITV and Channel 4 also have players. But there's a new service that's been launched, I think it was about on the 31st of March, which is a collaboration of BBC and a lot of other radio companies, which brings live radio together in one place online for, I think they're up to about nearly 160 radio stations. Mm. And it's a place where you can actually go, and they're at the site's being developed, and I get the feeling that they're looking at providing iPhone and iPad apps and Android as well for the future, and being able to record. And from a video I've seen, you'll also be able to pause and replay live audio, which is, when I saw that bit, I was like, whoa, that was really good, amazing. But I listen to an awful lot of radio, and to have all this in one place is fantastic. Plus, it enables me to listen to local radio stations from other parts of the UK, which is really interesting.
What's the quality like on this?
I've listened to 3 or 4 stations, and it's actually really good.
James, now you pushed out a tweet that said it was crap.
To be honest with you, I can see the point of it. It's basically an aggregation of a bunch of UK radio stations. And what they're supposed to be able to do is they're supposed to be able to put a link on their website that enables them to play it through the UK radio player. And then there's a drop-down box to say, if you want to listen to another radio station, here we go. Some radio networks don't like the fact that there's a chance that someone could go to another radio station as a result of this thing appearing on their website. The other issue is that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of very small radio stations which haven't made it on there. It costs a radio station £99 to join the radio player, but they haven't started yet. The little community stations, the hospital radio stations, the ones based out in the islands of Scotland, there is a real rich seam of amazing radio out there. Yeah. And when you say there are 150 radio stations out there, when 35 of them are heart, it's not really interesting to me.
Oh, I agree with what you're saying, James, but I think they've only been going for two weeks. And I'm hoping it's something that's going to grow, because I would like to have every single radio station, whether that be hospital radio station or whatever, on there, so that everything's in one place.
To be fair, in my tweet, I'd say I'll come back in 6 months' time.
Good. That's fair enough. Give it a chance.
Shoutcast. I love Shoutcast.
Mm.
Excellent.
And by AOL.
James, your cool thingy for us.
I've got an iPhone app, and I believe it's an Android app as well. It's called Flight Radar 24, and it's... I think I might have mentioned this on the show when the volcano was erupted, or around that time when the skies were completely clear and there weren't any planes at all, and you could just see one sort of plane sitting around Luton Airport, just not doing anything because it couldn't take off. This is live flight data. It's an iPhone app, and if you buy the professional version, you can lift it up, point it at the sky, and it will tell you what the plane is, which I think is the coolest thing.
Really? It's got like a VR thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that is cool.
It's a gyroscope and the compass to tell you what plane it is that's flying over you.
Oh, that is really good.
I love our chat room.
Why, what they said? I missed it.
Have a look.
Great for terrorists.
Whenever I use... Great for terrorists. The terrorist application of choice.
I'll tell you what, you look over Heathrow Airport and picking out any planes there, even if you're a terrorist, is a bit of a nightmare.
No, I mean, there's actually a website called that as well, which is where I've got the graphic from. And I looked at the amount of planes there are in the sky, and I don't want to fly anymore. It looks really... the problem is...
You're only seeing two-dimensional.
Well, yeah, but you're also looking at a plane that, according to the scale, is about 80 miles across. So that was...
These giant planes will kill us all.
Yeah, you look at this on that thing you're showing on the video at the moment, Ewan, there's one plane that's got its tail... over Dover and his nose over Calais.
Well, yeah, there you go. My point entirely.
It doesn't change the size of the planes.
It's a 22 mile. It does change the size of the planes, right? Okay, that's good.
It obviously makes the plane smaller. Yeah,
that's a new solution for flights. The planes are just so big that they start in they end in your destination. And they start where you already are.
Absolutely.
There's
perfect.
So much going on. How the hell can you fall asleep as a flight controller?
You just is it the planes now, they're so big, you go in the back door and walk out the front door.
Exactly.
I don't think if you're a flight controller,
you've ruined my cool thing.
It's a wide area, Kyle.
Yeah, still though, there's a lot going on. I mean, see, that's what they needed. They need to treat it like a game so that actually they stay awake.
Exactly. They just need to, they need to put that many planes. They need to make the airspace that crowded so that each pilot is like playing Star Fox. He's darting around and he's going, whoa, whoa, and he's dodging all these other planes and it's like, don't get hit.
You had to start him off,
thanks,
didn't
Eric.
You, Carl? You had to start him off.
I'm sorry.
I really didn't need that.
Those pilots are never going to get a buzz any other way.
Somebody call 911.
That's all right. He's got padding.
My cool thingy is something that I've been absolutely hooked on this week. I'm a subscriber to Audible anyway, and I love getting the books. And I've made driving a lot more enjoyable for myself in the last sort of 3 years by doing audiobooks, podcasts, that kind of stuff, and listening to them. And the one that I've come across this week, I bought it as a throwaway item because it's only 5 hours long, but it's called Easy as Pie by James Buchanan, and it is easily the best book that I've taken down from Audible. It's all about numbers and statistics, and that sounds really, really boring, but it's not. It's like you hear a phrase and you said, oh, this is the 12th night, etc., and it explains where 12th night comes from, and it explains why a circle's divided into 360 parts and how that relates to the motion of the sun around the earth, and so on. It's just a brilliant, brilliant read. If you're getting it in hardback, I think you'll probably find that you'll never put it down. And if you've got it an Audible book, it's the best 5 hours I've had. And I've been gagging to get in the car to listen to this. And I finished it at lunchtime today on the way, or this afternoon on the way back from the Apple store. I had the last 30 minutes to do so. It's Easy as Pie by Jamie Buchanan, and it is brilliant as a book.
I like the sound. That sounds right up my street.
Questions in the chat room. Does it cost £3.14?
Oh, very good. 3.142. Yes.
3.141596.
Well done, Aaron. Oh, we'll have apparently the world record for that is 100,000 units. There's a guy in Japan who can recite pi to 100,000 units.
Yeah, I know. I just learnt it to 8 decimal places by rote when I was at school and never forgotten it.
That's too many as well. Right. Last word goes to our sponsors, UK2.net. They have really saved our bacon this month. We've always done kind of around 2,000 to 3,000 downloads of the big show and that kind of stuff. 2 weeks ago, we did 26,000 downloads of the Mac show. Last week, we did 10,000 downloads of the Mac episode. And Andy and Atco came back on this afternoon, and that's going to get posted when we finish the show here tonight. And that's probably going to do a similar sort of quantity. We are well over our bandwidth limit, and I've written a thank you letter to them saying, please stick with us. I let them say yes to that, no problem, we love supporting you. And then I wrote them another one saying, well, we're actually going to do video podcasts next. Is there any chance we can host them on the servers? And they winced a bit, and they've gone away, and they're saying... They're saying they're going to talk about it, but they don't think there's going to be a problem. So we're probably going to host video podcasts in iTunes off the UK2 servers as well. So they've never meant more to us than this week. If you need anything, domain names, e-commerce, VPS servers, on-location, co-location services, that kind of stuff, go to our website. And when you get to the website, scroll all the way down to the bottom and you'll see the UK2.net link. Click on that and it'll take you through to VPS home site. And when you buy your VPS server, if you type in the offer code BAGLETECH, you're going to get your first month of VPS server free of charge as a result. So they're giving something back to our little community here, which is nice. And also for co-location services, if you go there, go use the click-through again on our website, go to co-location, and you will get an iPad 2 and... one free month of your co-location services. So that's uk2.net. They are our hosts and our providers and our sponsors and supporters, and we wouldn't be existing without them. So it's really important that anyone that listens goes and clicks that link through and lets them know that BAGLETECH really cares about their support and sponsorship, because we really are screwed without them. And the other one is Don McAllister. Don's come up with a fantastic deal for us. If you look next there, next to the UK2.net logo, you'll see that there is Screencasts Online and HD. And if you go and subscribe to Screencasts Online and use the offer code BAGLETECH, Don will give you 50% off your first year's membership, which is just... fantastic gesture of him. Thank you ever so much, Don. And his run-throughs of Mac software are legendary and superb. So please go and use him. UK2.net and screencastonline.com. Where can we get a hold of you then, peeps? James?
Next week I'm going to be in Germany.
Ah. You won't be on the show, I take it, then?
Yeah, it's only a small country. I'll be one of the corners.
One of the corners. The Wi-Fi in Germany is crap.
Oh, dear.
Public Wi-Fi is even worse.
All right, well, you probably won't find me then. Otherwise, it's Syzygy on Twitter, S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y. Oh, I have to say, actually, I've got an about.me account now, which is about.me/James Hart, which I quite like.
Very good. Okay.
It's kind of like a business card.
You are coming on the show, you aren't coming on the show?
I might not be back in time.
Okay, that's fine. I might be here on my own then.
Great. Get two Erics, they can talk to each other.
Two Erics. Have you got two cameras, dude? You can shoot one into the left and one into the right, and we could have you as like the terrible twins at the bottom.
And then I can turn and be like, yes, I agree. And then I turn back and then I go, oh, no, I disagree. And then just, yep.
Well, if there's one person on this panel that can do it, mate, it's you. Sarah, where can we get you, Mrs.?
You can get hold of me on my website, which is sarahjaneuk.com, or on Twitter at sarahjaneuk.
Excellent. Good news. We've got someone in the chat room, Aaron, saying he's going to transfer his VPS server over right now. Good man.
Wow.
Make sure you use the click through, dude, and the offer code. Kyle, where can we get hold of you?
Twitter.com/KyleSwagger.
And you're bailing on me next week as well.
I shall not be here next week. No, I shall be
lying
on a beach somewhere. Yep.
Git.
Sorry.
I'll be all on my own again. You had a week off the other week because of sickness. It's just not good enough.
Slacking.
And
I do it best.
Yeah. I'm cheap and I'm lazy.
Yep.
And finally, Eric, you've got to go and do a show in a bit, haven't you? But
yeah, in about an hour and a half, I'll be doing a live call-in show, Tech Talk Back, on live.twit.tv. And then I post that later on my website, which is ericlanigan.com. And of course, follow me on twitter.com/ericlanigan, ericlanigan.
Yes. And if you haven't listened to Tech Talk Back, do. You can dial in on Skype, can't you, and leave your missives about your... It's a bit of a kind of tech ragey type thing as well at times.
It's good. you never know what you're going to get because there are no call screeners. So in addition to it being a challenge for me because I never know, you know, I never know if I need to just like, you know, vamp and extend time and just talk myself to fill in gaps because no one's calling. Or sometimes I'll look over and just depending on one thing that somebody said or that I said, there's like 30 people in line to talk. So then you've got to motor through them as fast as possible. So it's and you never know where the topics are going to go. You never know what kind of crazy characters are going to call in or what very rational and educational calls you might have as well. So it's a fun trip.
I saw that YouTube video.
I was gonna say, and you never know what kind of character Eric's gonna be.
Yeah.
Well, we've seen his warm-up routine tonight, so there we go. If you've got a review for the big show, then please go and stick it on iTunes. There, we could do with reviews all across all the shows, across the network. Across the network. If you please, who's got feedback?
Not I.
No. You could do some reviews across the whole of the shows, across all of the networks. So please go and give one. Give whatever you fancy. You don't have to give it good or bad. It's your choice entirely. And we'll be back again next week with Bagel Broadcast Friday. Daily Show will be here every day apart from Thursday. And on Friday, we'll have the usual lineup of the Photo Show at 11, the Mac Show at 1, and then the Big Show again at 10 p.m. And we've got a new boy joining us who's written in and said, did he want another British podcaster on the network? So he's going to join us on the Mac Show and take Carl's place. See, I've replaced you already, dude. Bad luck.
Yeah, it's up.
Have a good weekend. See you next week.